Well, it's nice to be back with you again today. I first came to Rathfriend as a fill-in way back in April 1975. And it was a fill-in for Pastor Jack Hughes at that particular time, just for that one night. And then, as George has said, I was back later on for a series. And over the years, many have been the fill-ins that I have done for Rathfriend, but today is the final fill-in. It's a fill-out today as your new pastor comes in the will of the Lord at the beginning of next week. Trust that God will bless both pastor and people as they labor together in this corner of the vineyard for him. In those early days, as George has rightly said, there were just a few in a wooden building on the site here. The comparison with today is immense. Good to see the church well filled of all ages and sizes, and trust that God will bless mightily in coming days. Now, you'll find our scripture reading this morning in the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and reading at verse number 7. Philippians 3 at verse 7. A new program for a new day. That's the title that I've given to our study together this morning. A new program for a new day. Since it is my privilege to share with you on this final day of the vacancy, the end of a chapter and the start of the next chapter in the providence and will of the Lord. Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Finishing our reading at verse 15. And trusting the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Just a moment of prayer. Our Father, it is important that we read your word. It is important, our Father, that we believe your word. It is important that we practice your word as the Holy Spirit enables in these lives of ours, that we might be living testimonies to the saving faith that is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be a constant witness where we live for you. We thank you for the testimony of the church here at Rathfriend. Thank you that away back over the years, Lord, 1968, the church was formed. Praise you for your guiding hand from that day until now. And Lord, we just ask that as we are on the verge of a new phase of the work here, that you will grant much blessing in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, we are so aware that this next phase of the church could see the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to the air, when we shall be gathered home eternally into his presence. So sanctify these moments to us that we spend around your word. May our hearts be challenged. And at the same time, Lord, may we be encouraged and blessed and strengthened in our walk with thee. So undertake and meet our need. In our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. It's very much a model church at Philippi. And we only need to leap back to the very beginning of the epistle to discover that. Because we're told in Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, they're writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. It's a model church because there are saints. And the saints will have a testimony. And their responsibility will be to uphold that testimony before the Lord, as is the requirement of each of us as believers, to bear a faithful witness for the Lord. They're saints in the church, those who are saved by his grace. Then also at Philippi, there were bishops, sometimes referred in the New Testament as elders or overseers, and they will have authority. They will exercise rule over the people of God. That's their responsibility as wise under shepherds of the flock. So there are saints and there are bishops. And then there are deacons. And they will have a ministry in the church, attending to the various duties that are required to keep the church moving smoothly. And when you get a church constituted in a New Testament basis, you expect blessing, but also you expect opposition, because the enemy will be busy. And in these verses, Paul lays out a program, very interesting program, and a program that's well worth adopting. It deals with the past, and it deals with the future, and of course it deals with the present. The past is behind. The future in the goodness of the Lord lies ahead. And the present is with us. And in the present, the Lord is beside us. And Paul uses in verse 12 that little expression, I follow after. And I quite like the translation of that, which puts it, I am pursuing onward. That's a good way for any believer or for any church to be going. To be going onward and forward and upward and heavenward and homeward. I follow after. The old hymn that we sometimes sing heartily, pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying, as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And so I do believe there is something for us all this morning in Paul's program, outlined for us in these verses, verse 13 and 14. There's concentration in his program. He's going to concentrate. He said, this one thing I do, going to focus on this and make it my aim and my desire. Concentration, that will be needed. And then he goes on further and he says, forgetting. There's a resolution with him. Forgetting those things which are behind. He has concentration. He has resolution. And then he has determination. Because he says, reaching forth. Stretching out towards. Reaching out unto those things which are before. And finally, there's an expectation. He says there happens to be a prize at the end of the journey. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those four aspects to the program of the church. Now, Paul must have had thousands of things screaming at him for his care and for his attention. Necessary things, important things, legitimate things, spiritual things, things that were well within his ability to do, all crying out for him that they might be done. But his one supreme desire is to strive after God, to get places with God. That should be our personal aim and our aim as a church fellowship, to get places with God under this new phase of the church's program. You see, it's hard to concentrate because we are so many things, called to be so many things to so many people. We're husband, wives, parents, relations in the family circle. We are employers or employees in the workplace. We are neighbours and friends in the district, citizens in the state. We're different leaders and with different responsibilities in the Lord's work. Teacher in the Sunday school, a member in the fellowship, an office bearer, a leader in some aspect of the work, a helper, a guide, a confidant. In short, we are all things to all men. And Paul is here saying in this verse, I'm going to narrow it all down. And I'm going to focus on one particular thing. This one thing I do. Going to give it my best shot. Wouldn't that be good if each of us could say that? That's why I'm going to give what I'm doing my best shot for the Lord. You see, it's very possible for us to spread ourselves too thinly and to run ourselves into the ground. I think of that wee situation in the Song of Solomon, great wee book, the Song of Solomon. And in chapter 1 and verse 6, and the bride is the speaker. And she has the confidence of a lot of people because she says, they made me the keeper of vineyards. They saw some potential in me, she said. And they sort of gave me their support and their loyalty and their allegiance. And they made me the keeper of vineyards. That was a mighty responsibility. Because she would be expected to plant to prepare the soil, to plant the seedlings, to prune the vines, to press the grapes, to put the juice into pots and containers, to keep the fences strong, to protect the vine from the foxes, because young foxes spoil the vine, we're told. So she said, they made me the keeper of vineyards. And then she has to put this ugly butt in, which spoils the whole thing. She says, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And I wonder, is the Holy Spirit pressing those final words into our very being this morning and saying, hey, you haven't kept your own vineyard. You've been busy about so many things, legitimately busy, constantly busy, always busy, but you've been careless about your own vineyard. My own vineyard have I not kept. Have we not been perfecting Christian character in the way that we should? Have our lives not radiated the beauty of Christ in the way that they should? Have we at times let the Lord down by our living? Wonder this morning, as someone to say, I would need to concentrate more on my quiet times. The old hymn beautifully puts it, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. We need to give more time to gather around His Word. I would need to give more time to gather at the place of prayer. I would need to cultivate Mary's one thing in the Gospel where it says, Mary sat at His feet. The place is falling down around her. Her sister is in great concern because she's left to do everything. But Mary sat at His feet. And she's tuned into heaven. We need to be tuned into heaven as well. If we're going to live in victory on earth. And I wonder this morning, could there be a believer saying, mine own vineyard have I not tended? I've lost the joy that once I had of being saved. I have a very low appetite for the word of the Lord. I'm lacking in zeal for prayer. Friends, I have no idea, not in the wide world, have I any idea of the state of prayer in the fellowship here. But I do know from going round churches in these days, prayer is at a very, very low ebb. Can't get believers to come to the prayer meeting. And even those who do come, you can't get them to pray. And there's a dearth. So many of our church prayer meetings are an apology for genuine prayer. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. There needs to be concentration. This one thing I do. And then I want us to notice, secondly, in Paul's program, note his resolution. Because he goes on in verse 13, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So hard to let the past go. You see, really, in a sense, we're creatures of the past. It's really part of us. Our yesterdays appeal to us. We go back into the yesterdays, even as we've been doing already this morning, and thinking of years gone by. And we like to linger with our memories in the past. We lose ourselves by going back over the years. Do you remember what it used to be like? And we revel in the years. I can remember a dear brother saying to me 30 years ago, he said, do you think it's possible for the believer and the church to be living in the past glory of bygone days? I said, indeed I do. Nothing more possible than that. Equally so, we can allow our failures and our disappointments and our problems of the past to haunt us and to hinder us in the present. I tried in the past and I failed. Well, try again in the future and succeed. But sometimes because we tried in the past and failed, we are not going to try again. And yet the Lord is able to give us the victory again and again. We just need to learn to leave the past behind, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, how can you forget? That's a good question. You can't forget if you keep on going over the details. You have heard, and I have heard, and we've met folks, and they've told us the whole detail, blow for blow, and step for step. And somebody said something and somebody else said another thing. And they have remembered the whole thing vividly as if it happened yesterday. How did that happen? Because they've gone over it and over it and over it and over it. Forget about it. It's in the past. Leave it in the past. Step over it and go on forward in the future. Also in the letter to the Philippians, Paul writes in chapter 4 and verse 8, these words, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do a thought switch, as we would switch off the lights. Switch our thoughts from thinking of the things of the past and the failures of the past to those things that are true, honest and upright and lovely and good report. Think on these things. Forget past sins. Aren't they behind us? Praise God, even more than that, they're under the blood. Thank God for the virtue and victory of the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. So that we read that great verse in Hebrews 10 and verse 17, their sins. That's an all-embracing term. The whole lot of them. Every single one of them. Private sins, public sins, open sins, hidden sins, their sins, all of them. And iniquities, God says, will I remember no more. It's a God-given attribute to forget. And God does that. We can remember our failures and our past sins. God says, I've forgotten about them. As far as I'm concerned, they're cleansed by the blood of Christ. If God has no memory of them, don't let the devil offload them onto you. Drag you down. As far as the east is from the west, so far as we remove our transgressions from us. Forget our past sins. Another thing I think that we need to forget is this. Forget our past successes. Because sometimes we have floundered on that very ground. We've reveled in our past successes, the things that we've achieved in the past. And we've become proud of our achievements. And we're living in past glories. And we become careless and complacent. Wasn't that the problem, part the problem, with Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 16? Whenever Delilah is trying to discover the source of his strength. And of course he says, well, if you tie my hair with green withes, my strength will have gone. And she did that, but his strength was still there. And he says, well, if you bind me with new ropes, my strength will have gone. She did that, but the strength was still there. And he says, well, if you were to weave my locks in a weaver's beam, that'll be the end of the strength. But his strength was still there. And then he said, well, if they were cut. And then the next verse, Judges 16 and verse 20 says, I will go out as at the other times. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. His past success has gone. And failure had gripped him. We cannot win tomorrow's battles with today's strength. Far less win today's battles with yesterday's successes. Our God gives us daily victory for daily needs. So we are to forget those things which are behind. Forget our past sins. Forget our past successes. Forget the past slips of others. I think that's the hardest thing for believers to do. Sadly, that's the very thing that bugs so many believers. They forget. They fail to forget the failings of others. Never let them live it down. We who have been so greatly forgiven find it hard to forgive others. And that's a sad situation. such is contrary to God's will. For in Ephesians, Paul writes again, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Never carry a grudge into the next room. Never mind into the next day. It's only when we put the past where it belongs, behind, and leave it there, that we can reach out to the future that lies ahead. Coming into a new phase of ministry in the church here, we need to concentrate. This one thing I do. We need to resolve forgetting those things which are behind. And then the third step in Paul's program is this determination. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. And I quite like the translation which puts it like this, straining forward. Like a dog at a leash, pulling on, trying to get away. And we should be on an edge for God, at the ready. We hear plenty, and we'll hear more in coming weeks, of course, the nearer we get to the Olympic Games. We're well aware of the picture of the athlete, of the runner, and he's at the ready, and he's on his marks, and he's leaning forward, and is listening for the pistol shot of the starter's weapon, and he's ready to go. And that's the meaning that Paul has in mind here. For don't forget, he was very conversant with the Greek games, and a lot of the pictures that he gives were related to the Greek games. Reaching forth, stretching out. Wesley puts it in a verse of that great old hymn that he wrote, ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercies seal, and make the sacrifice complete. Ready for all thy perfect will. Wouldn't it be good for the coming of the new pastor if every member and every adherent of the fellowship at Rathrian could say, I'm ready. I'm ready for what the Lord has for us. Ready to go forward in his name and for his glory. Reaching forth to those things which are before. Now here's a thought. None of us really know what lies ahead. Good job that it's like that, isn't it? But we can embrace it in the knowledge. Whatever lies ahead, whether good or ill or otherwise, beloved brethren and sisters, he knows. Are precious those words in Daniel 2 and 22 that Daniel makes before King Nebuchadnezzar when he speaks of his God, and he says, he knows what is in the darkness. Maybe that's a word of comfort to someone. You're passing through a dark, difficult, ugly patch. My sister, my brother, he knows. He knows what's in the darkness. Because the 139th Psalm tells me the darkness and the light are both alike to me, says the Lord. Not both alike to me, but they're both alike to him. Because he's in control. And so whatever lies ahead, we're reaching forth. It's been forward up to the moment. Let it be forward still. As the nation of Israel come out from the bondage of Egypt in the book of Exodus, they knew not what lay ahead for them, the Red Sea. In fact, it looked almost the end of the journey. The sea's in front of them, they're going to be drowned. The pursuing armies of Egypt are behind, they're going to be recaptured. To the right-hand side is a mountain mass of Migdal, that they can't get over that. To the left-hand side is Pi-Hahiroth, and that's swampy territory, and they're cornered. But the people of God can never be cornered. We have a God of victory on our side. And when there looked to be no way out, the message of the Lord comes through the servant Moses. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. And as they went forward, God opened up the way. You can be sure that before us are perishing souls who need Christ. Reach forth the gospel of truth to them. You can be sure there are lonely souls all around us. Reach forth the hand of friendship and fellowship, comfort, strength to them. There are serving ones in different lands of the earth today who are looking to this fellowship for you promised to pray for them. Reach forth the hand of prayer and support for them. There will be fallen, wounded, discouraged believers around us. Reach forward to them, comfort and help in their hour of need. Paul's great words in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, he says, I go to Jerusalem not knowing what shall be before me there. I go not knowing. Don't know what lies ahead. And in verse 24 of Acts 20, he says, none of these things move me, but I count not my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Some of us are nearer than others to the finishing line. Ah, brethren and sisters, finish the course with joy. You have met and I have met, and sadly it's like that, but we have met folk. They didn't finish with joy. They were bitter, cynical, critical, harsh, severe. Nowhere with God. And nowhere in their testimony before man. Good to finish well. I can remember on one occasion on a platform leading the meeting, and the Woodville singers were singing, of course, as they often did, with great acceptance. I was watching through the chinks in the fellows, and Alec, the leader, of course, piece they were singing, pointed to the sheet that was lying on the platform. But I did wonder what he was pointing at, and I peered through and saw, and written in bold letters at the end of the piece were the words, watch the finish. And I tell you, that's good advice for us as believers. Watch the finish. Watch the finish. Make sure that you finish with joy and in victory. So there is Paul's conviction, this one thing I do. There's Paul's resolution, forgetting those things which are behind. There's Paul's determination, reaching forth to those things which are before. And fourthly and finally, have to be quickly, there's Paul's great anticipation. I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm keeping my eye on the winning post. Because that's how you win when you do that. Paul is so familiar with the ancient Greek games. The runner needed to be careful to keep his eye on the finishing line. To get there fast and to get there first. Because he realized there's a prize to be gained. And that's important. Brethren and sisters, there's a prize to be gained. The judgment seat of Christ. The Lord will come to the heir one of these days, snatch home his own. And then there will be the judgment seat of Christ, when the deeds done in the body will be rewarded. And Paul knew at Athens that the Olympic winner got three things. He got 500 drachma.
That was 500 days' pay. So there was something to support him. Brethren and sisters, there's something to support us on the journey. Someone to support us. A victory to support us. More than enough to meet the daily needs of the winner of the Greek Games. Every present need and every future need and every unexpected need. And we're told in Ephesians, in the ages to come, he'll show to us the exceeding riches of his grace towards us through Christ Jesus. We're a greatly blessed people, blessed with every spiritual blessing heavenly places in Christ. He got 500 drachmas, enough to support him. He was allowed to eat at the public expense. No more bills to be paid for food. He got something to satisfy him. And beloved, you and I, who are the redeemed of the Lord, shall in his time be in his presence and feast at his table in the glory, more lavishly furnished than man's table could ever be. We shall be eternally satisfied. And the third reward of the winner of the Greek Games was, he was given a front seat in the amphitheater for the rest of the games. And my Bible tells me, and I think yours tells you pretty well the same, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. There's a reservation made for us in heaven. And that's the destination of the redeemed. It's God's declared program for every believer and for every fellowship of the Lord's people. No better words for us today than the great words of C.T. Studd when he said, I will go anyway provided it is forward. Be sure and start as you mean to go on God's program for a new day for God's people. Concentration. This one thing I do. Resolution. Forgetting those things which are behind. Determination. Reaching forth to those things which are before. And anticipation, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May God make us those who are moving forward with him. Can we use as our closing hymn, please, 423, 423. It's really couched in the form of a prayer, and we can make it our individual, our personal prayers this morning. 423, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, don't forget that bit, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still, o'er troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. And then let's use verses 3 and 4 of the hymn. 4, 2, 3 and verse 3.
Father, we bless you that we are a privileged people led by the hand of the Almighty God. Thank you that ever you led us to salvation, that you brought us, our Father, to see the wonder of Calvary's mighty work. And here we are this morning, saved by grace, kept by power, and bound for the land that is fairer than day. So bless us as we go forward. Bless this church, Lord, as it goes forward in coming days. And grant, we ask, that there may be, in the wisdom and purpose of God, days of continued blessing, even in the fellowship. Members, as we continue around the Lord at the table, sanctify these moments to us. Bless any who must leave, and grant to each your continued blessing day by day, for we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.